Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
The Savage Nation, you're listening to Metallica with a great, great, great song of theirs, which I'm sure you know what it is, those of you who are fans of Metallica. And I believe it is called what? What is it called, Robert? For whom the Bell Tolls, is that correct? How many of you know that For Whom the Bell Tolls come from a great poem that approaches a religious piece by a great dead white male poet, John Donne? It's a short one, and he wrote this. He said, "No man is an island entire of itself. Each is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thine own or of thine friends were. Each man's death diminishes me, for I am involved in mankind. Therefore, send not to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee." 1624, John Donne, no longer taught by the polyps in the U.S. academic establishment. The polyps who have turned academia into a cesspool of left-wing hatred for everything Caucasian, everything European, everything that is great on this earth created by whites, now expunged by the polyps who have taken over every aspect of the academy. Now, what does that have to do with Trump? Nothing. Nothing to do with Trump, in a way. For Whom the Bell Tolls? Well, the poem begins with, "No man is an island." He's not an island. And as Chuck Schumer and the other illegitimi on the left continue to tear him apart, they do not realize they're tearing themselves apart. As they tear apart the truth, as they tear apart decency, as they tear apart democracy, as they tear apart the presidency, they're washing away our nation. And if you think they're only attacking Trump, you are mistaken. They're attacking the foundations of our nation. And that's what I want to talk about today. And I said to you at the early part of the week, I'm going to try and begin each program with some biblical quote or whatever. Today I began with a great poem that approaches a biblical quote because it's as good as anything that the ancients wrote. But there is an ancient thing from the Ethics of the Father that is a one-liner that says, "Do not judge alone, for none can judge alone except one," meaning only God can judge alone. "Do not judge alone, for none can judge alone except one." Apparently, Chuck Schumer forgot all of that after he put down his religious studies, if he ever had any. After tearing apart Donald Trump on completely fallacious grounds, they're now going after Mike Pence. Did you know that? Many of you think that Mike Pence is waiting in the wings, which he probably is, and we're going to play his interview with me. But the issue is not him. They're going to try to tear him down just as well. The polyps in the Democrat Party live for one thing only, and that is to destroy. To destroy, destroy, destroy. And now, here's the odd part. Instead of facing the real enemy of Western civilization, which is radical Islam, they have created a false enemy called Russia. Suddenly, Russia is the bigger enemy. What has Russia done to America to harm us? The answer is absolutely nothing. Were it not for the Russian jets, ISIS would still be cutting off heads and setting people alive, on fire while alive. It was the Russian Air Force under Putin that started to destroy ISIS, not Barry Hussein Obama, who refused to do the job. Listen to me very carefully. Civilization itself is under attack right now. The vicious Dems are now out to destroy Pence. They're going after him in a new way. They're saying VP Pence is standing by his claims that he did not know former National Security Advisor Flynn had been secretly lobbying for the Turkish government until March. So now they're trying to smear Pence with the same Flynn story. You know, this morning I spoke to a few people, and I got a lot of emails from a few people I respect, and maybe I'll share some of them with you. But one of them was a very famous Democrat attorney, one of the most famous, but I'm talking old line, JFK era Democrat. Don't confuse them with the progressive vermin of San Francisco of today. I'm talking about old line Democrat, fair-minded liberal. There were such men. They don't exist much anymore. And he said to me, he called me incensed. He said, can you tell your friend Donald Trump how to handle this? Because he's a very famous attorney, this man. He said there's only one way for him to handle it and get up there and say, of course I told the FBI director, if you can. If you can. I didn't say you should. If you can. Drop this inquisition against these people. Because he's a good man. Flynn is a good man. He's my friend. That shows loyalty. Do you understand? It shows that Donald Trump has something that none of the Democrat polyps have, which is integrity and loyalty to friends. Do you understand what's going on here? Loyalty, integrity, something that Schumer never learned in the dirty streets of Brooklyn. Something that Pelosi never learned in the filth in which she dwells. He said, tell him to go on the attack and say, of course I defended Flynn and told the FBI director, if you can, not you should, if you can, move away from this. He's a good man. He didn't do anything wrong here. He said, there's nothing illegal with that. He gave me some other advice. There's absolutely no case whatsoever for impeachment. None. In fact, if you think there is, you're really living in a dream world. I got another letter from my attorney, Daniel Horowitz. And he said impeachment based upon the Comey memo is very unlikely. Here's why. If Comey really was solicited in a way that was clearly illegal, he had two choices. One, he could submit a report to the attorney general and seek a prosecution. Two, he could create a memo, report, and do further investigation, that is, set up a sting, or attempt to garner more proof than just his word against the president's. As far as I know, writes my attorney, as far as I know, neither took place. A cynic would say that Comey was holding it over Trump as blackmail, but I give no credence to that at all. The power would fade over time, and the delay in reporting would make the use of the threat a bluff. That leaves us with the idea that Comey probably felt pressured, but also believed that the conduct did not constitute a crime. It is the only logical conclusion. Comey is a lawyer and an experienced law enforcement officer, and he is smart and not afraid of anyone as far as I can tell. For all of these reasons, his noting of the contact, but his taking no further action, screams to me, there is nothing here. And there is more, much more. And unfortunately, the propaganda damage has already been done. Last night, I received a number of emails from a friend of mine in Los Angeles. He said every restaurant he went in, that's all they were talking about, was Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia. He said one restaurant after another, wherever he went, at one table after the next, the psychotic liberals have bought it hook, line, and sinker. The idiots in West Hollywood who don't know their toenails from their DNA. We're talking about not the radical Islamic threat to our civilization, but Trump and Russia, Trump and Russia, Trump and Russia. So the damage has already been done. Well, there are many other stories, and I'm not going to talk about this all day. Here's some stories that I should talk about today. Pence takes steps to build war chest as White House stumbles, says Bloomberg's Bill Allison. Breitbart reports Trump under siege. More than 60% of NSC employees placed by Hussein Obama. Comey's revenge may be far from over, says Mike Allen. Trump voters want jobs, not noise about Russia. CNN, and it's an interesting one. She traveled the country talking with dozens of Trump voters. No one has ever brought up Russia, an issue that President Trump seems obsessed with. She went to Ohio, Kentucky, Michigan, Wisconsin. Russia never came up, nor did the FBI. These states went to Trump and were critical to his election, she writes. All voters there want to talk about is how America needs more jobs. They don't mean jobs at McDonald's or at an Amazon warehouse. They mean jobs that will allow them to have decent middle-class lives that pay over $25 an hour and come with health care and retirement benefits. Jobs and wages are, quote, why we voted for him as a country, says Kenneth Olson, a 60-year-old factory worker from Racine, Wisconsin, who has been told his job is moving to Canada soon. He's deeply concerned that he and his wife may lose their house after he's laid off. On the campaign trail, Trump seemed to be in sync with voters, like Olson and understand their deep economic pain and fear. He excelled at rallying massive crowds with promises to be, quote, the greatest jobs producer that God ever created, and to bring back jobs from Mexico and China. He focused on what got his base excited. That's all they care about. That is jobs, jobs, jobs. The phone number is 855-400-7282. I have no specific questions for you. I could ask you a loaded question, but I really don't want to get stuck on one specific topic. But Scott in Massachusetts has already called the Savage Nation. Scott on line one, let's hear what you have to say. Fire away, 30 seconds or less. Oh, what do you mean, you don't have him? Great, terrific. See how much I love my show, how my timing is not affected by incompetence. It's an amazing story unto itself. Trump pulls trigger for NAFTA talks. That came out just now. While he's under attack by the polyps in the media, in other words, the government media complex, he gave formal notice just this day today he will renegotiate NAFTA, the so-called free trade deal that Bill Clinton signed between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. By signing this letter to Congress, it triggers a 90-day consultation period among the administration, Congress, and business. This means that negotiations to renegotiate NAFTA can begin in August. This is the first step toward reshaping a trade deal that became law in 1994 and changed the face of trade in North America. Now, this is a very important story. He's doing his work. In the midst of being assaulted by the lowest forms of humanity, he continues to do the job we sent him to Washington to do. Now, if you think I'm going to abandon him like all of the never-Trumpers, if you think I'm going to stab him in the back and jump ship because all the others are doing it, I'm not going to do that. I'm made of better stuff than that. I'm not going to join the chorus of those who were for Cruz or for any of the other lessers who could not win. They're now sticking a knife in Trump's back as he is in trouble. The answer is stick a knife in the other party's back, not in his back. And I've said this before, and I will say it again as I said it to the Democrat attorney today. What is missing, I said, sir, is a Roy Cohn. If I were Donald Trump, I would hire 100 aggressive lawyers under a Roy Cohn-like lawyer, and I would investigate all of those who are persecuting me with these false charges. I would put 10 investigators on every senator, every congressman, every reporter who has it in for me. And once I turn over every rock in their lives, and I expose what's real about their pollution, you will see most of this will go away. It's astonishing to me how successful propaganda can be. It's shocking to me how they could take a man like Donald Trump, as flawed as he is, and turn him into a villain. A villain he is not. Flawed he is. And how, by attacking Trump, what they're really doing is attacking the Americans who voted for Trump. Make no mistake about it. By attacking Trump, they're saying, drop dead on the border with Mexico. We love the drugs. We love the crime. We love the illegal aliens. We love the meth dealers pouring over the border. We love the throat cutters with tattoos. We want more of them in our cities because we love the drug trade. By attacking Trump, they're saying, we love an unfair trade deal where Eddie loses his job. We love jobs going to Canada. We love jobs going to Mexico. We love jobs going to China. We want the white male suffering with nothing in this country. We want the white male out of work. We want him humiliated and broken. And language? We don't want a language in this country. We want a bastardization. We want no one to understand the next man. We want a Tower of Babel in this nation. They are attacking us. They're attacking the core of the nation. They're attacking every last one of us who voted for Trump. Make no mistake about it. The battle lines are drawn. The game has begun. And I am Michael Savage, and I'm not jumping ship just because you think it is convenient to do so. I am a loyal man, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. We'll be right back. with you. I hope you enjoyed my impassioned defense of Donald Trump, because I'm defending myself. I'm defending the agenda. I'm defending all of those Americans who want America back. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You have to fight right now, and you cannot let the illegitimate progressives roll you over with their big lies. Because let me remind you of something, and I'll remind you until you finally hear me. They're implying that Trump and his officials were complicit in Russia's efforts to impact the election. It should be noted that both acting FBI Director McCabe and the former Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, who doesn't shut his clap-trap mouth, have refuted that notion already. There is absolutely no collusion whatsoever with Russia. Now, having said that, my big, high-powerful Democrat lawyer friend said to me, Trump should give a national press conference. He should have done it already and stop tweeting. Just what I said. Stop with the juvenile adolescent tweeting. Stop it! Stop it! Stop the tweeting. It's not presidential. Give a national conference in the Oval Office with the seal of the presidency in front of him and say, yes, I defended General Flynn because he is a good man. And I would do it again. And number two, yes, I did tell the ambassador about the dangers of radical Islam and their attempts to use laptops to blow up airplanes, because that is my job as president, to protect people. And I would do it again with any other world leader who is our ally. And he said that would be the end of it. Instead of hiding and tweeting and tweeting and hiding, Trump needs one piece of advice. Fire your communications director. Fire everybody around you in the communications division. They are failing you, and that is why you are in trouble. Period. That's my opinion. Fire them all and start afresh.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Said to you, that monologue shall live for a very long time. It will be played and replayed and played again. And never forget John Donne's poem, For Whom the Bell Tolls. No man is an island. No man is an island. By attacking Donald Trump, they are attacking every one of us who voted for Donald Trump. By smearing Donald Trump with the lies that the Soviets developed in the 1920s and the 1930s, the communists developed these tactics. By smearing Donald Trump with these Soviet-era tactics, they are smearing every one of us, every one of these decent Americans like you, like me, who went to the polls. We didn't beat anybody up. We didn't burn anything down. We didn't attack any police. We didn't use the vile tactics of Black Lives Matter. We don't use the cowardly tactics of those with masks over their faces. We bit our tongues, and we went to the polls, and we voted. And by attacking Trump, they are attacking our vote. By attacking our vote, they're attacking democracy. They're attacking the presidency. You know and I know there's nothing there. You know this whole thing was a creation of the Hillary Clinton campaign. It is now snowballed into a fake avalanche that they're starting to believe themselves. And you have to stay strong in this avalanche. You must stay strong, and you must not yield to your liberal neighbor in apartment 5A on floor 32 on East 65th Street. Don't let them run you down. Illegitimi non caberundum. Chris on WEZS Radio, line 2, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. I loved your monologue. I agree. I'm not going to give up on Trump. I think that the attack against him really is an attack against the idea of America. He's the most American person, not alone president, that I can think of.
They hate him for a number of reasons. He's an alpha male, and as you well know, alpha males do not exist in the media. You've got metrosexuals in the media who hate alpha males. That's number one. This attack upon him is an attack upon malehood. It's an attack upon, may I say, many other aspects of Donald Trump. His uber masculinity, and also, I must say, his race, whether you know it or not. This is something that is a very dangerous topic, but I care to take it on. Why is it that for 8 years, no matter what Hussein Obama did, we were not allowed to criticize him? Why is it that for 8 straight years, no matter what Hussein Obama did, no matter how he abused the taxpayer, no matter what nefarious deal he was involved in, $150 billion sent to Iran? Where'd the money come from? Where were all of the brave Wolf Blitzers and Jake Tappers at that time? How come they didn't raise one voice of protest about the real scandals of Hussein Obama? You think there's a tinge of racial element, a tinge of a racial element in this attack on him and no attack upon Obama? Do you think so?
Well, I think he's a male. He's a real man. And I don't think we've seen one for, maybe Ronald Reagan approached it, and since then.
All right, what you're touching on is an interesting idea, which is that this is radical feminism gone amok as well. I can understand where you're coming from. I wouldn't say that's the only reason. But there is a tinge of the same hysteria that you see on the campuses, promulgated by the whistleblowing radical feminists who need safe spaces in order to promote their hatred. Thank you for the call. What's your opinion? 855-400-7282 is the phone number. 8 years we weren't allowed to criticize Hussein. 8 years. You couldn't say one word about Hussein or Mrs. Hussein, could you? No matter how many times she took a trip on Air Force One or Two with her daughters and her mother, no matter where she went and how many millions she spent, you couldn't say one word. And while Hussein, the great liberal, was building the greatest surveillance state in the history of the world, far exceeding that of the Stasi in Eastern Europe, you ask anybody, you even ask liberals who know what I'm talking about, Hussein Obama spied on every American with impunity. And where were all of the girls in the media then? Huh? Where were the great judges of what is correct then? Where were they? Sonia, WABC in New York, go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, first of all, your monologue was passionate and true. But what you've actually taken the words out of my mouth, because what I want to say is I feel that there's a fresh air now that one can breathe. And what is it? It was because for 8 years, if you tried to criticize that president that was there for the eight years, you were looked at like you were a racist. It was frightening to be able to criticize him. But now that President Trump is there, people are going nuts criticizing him, and nobody says a word, even if it's true or not. But now we are allowed to criticize, and we're not looked at because, they're being lauded with their criticisms. And you more or less just took the words out of my mouth.
Well, for 8 straight years, why do you think no one criticized Hussein Obama? You're implying because of the racial issue?
Yes.
Well, he was also a far-left radical. Now, you combine that with the perfect storm of the racial element, and you understand how he got away with virtual murder.
When I would sit around the dining room table with my friends and would bring up criticism of that president, I don't even want to say his name, it turns me off, they would look at me like, what's happened to you? You've turned racist? That's the way they catalogue
it. So this is how brainwashing works. This is what happens when a nation becomes brainwashed. This is what goes on the campuses today. The children are afraid to say one word about the radicals who are assaulting them, about the separatists who may be African-American who demand this and demand that, separate housing, separate graduations, separate programs for themselves. They're reinstituting segregation, and everyone sees it, and no one says a word. They're intimidated by this insanity. But let's get back to Donald Trump. We agree that he's being attacked not only because of his policies of borders, language, and culture and his nationalism, but also because of his absolute maleness and his boldness. Isn't that an element as well? Well, I think it is, and I thank you for the call. And before I go anywhere, I got to tell you something else, and I think it's just as important as anything to do right now, because I got to tell you about a sophisticated email phishing scam that targeted a million users of a document editing application that was provided by a leading internet company. You see, the emails looked like they came from known contacts and invited recipients to view a document. But when users clicked to open the file, scammers collected their account information, including credentials and contacts. Well, the company acted fast and stopped the scam within an hour. So always be skeptical of these types of emails and be sure you know the sender before opening them. That's a good warning, because identity theft is America's fastest growing crime. It happens when thieves use your information and they pretend that they're you. They can liquidate your bank account or get retirement funds. Did you know that? The great company LifeLock scans hundreds of millions of transactions every second. If they detect your information, they send you an alert. If you have a problem, a U.S.-based agent will work to fix it. Free credit monitoring only alerts you to changes in credit. You know that no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. And I think LifeLock is the best identity theft protection available. Membership started only $9.99 a month plus taxes. I'm asking you to go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code SAVAGE. That's SAVAGE for 10% off your LifeLock membership. So call 1-800-LIFELOCK. That's 1-800-LIFELOCK. Again, the phone number I invite you to call is 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Remember, by attacking Trump, they're attacking all of us who voted for Trump. They're saying we are illegitimate. They're saying we're working in collusion to bring down America, when in fact the opposite is true. It was Barack Obama who brought America to its knees. It was Barack Obama who turned race against race. It was Barack Obama who turned mobs against the police. Never forget what that devil did to this country. No man is an island entire of itself. Each is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of your own or of your friends were. Each man's death diminishes me, for I am involved in mankind. Therefore, send not to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. John Donne wrote it in 1624, and they're no longer taught in a university. Do you know why? Because he's considered an evil white male. Instead, it is replaced with garbage, illegitimate garbage, rubbish, filth, anti-Americanism. Anti-Americanism has now replaced literature. Anti-Americanism has now replaced everything decent in the universities. They have been polluted just as the media has been polluted. They were educated. Never forget who this new wave of so-called presenters are and where they've come from. They've come from cauldrons of hatred, academies of deceit, academies of racism, academies of a desire to wipe away the greatness of European civilization. Never forget what is at stake here. It's a far larger picture than just this big, big man called Donald Trump. As flawed as he is not what they try to make him out to be. And remember, as they come for Trump, they come for you. The battle lines have been drawn. They want a civil war. They've got a civil war. You have the power to turn off CNN. You have the power to never watch the filth and the dirt on MSNBC. You have the power to do to them what they've done to me. You have the power to say no to it. You don't have to watch that garbage. You don't have to watch the fake comedians on HBO. You can turn it off. You don't have to sit there and listen to it with the fake tracks of laughter and the drug addicts in the audience. Remember how powerful you are. Remember, you are actually the majority. And never forget that you have more disposable income than all of the progressives think that they may have. You control the economy of this country. You have the power to shape the future of this country. You can turn off those networks that insult you. You can turn off those shows that make a mockery of your beliefs. You have the power. No man is an island entire of itself. You are very powerful when you realize you're part of a continent of humanity. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Element to this story out of New York City that you may not have heard. The driver who drove his car into a crowd on four blocks of Times Square, killing an 18-year-old tourist and injuring 22 others, He was not a terrorist per se. He should be tried for murder, by the way. He tried to flee after he did this, and his car smashed into something. And he ran out of his car, this you don't know about, and he started to punch people and tackle people. But three brave men, all police, of course, the ones that Maxine Waters hates so much, a parole officer, a traffic cop, and a patrol cop, who happened to be there, tackled this piece of garbage, threw this filthy piece of garbage against the wall, and pinned his arms behind his back, and he started to scream and cry. You see the pictures in the New York Post of this thing. I would try him on terrorism charges. I don't care whether he did it for Allah or he did it because he's just crazy. I try him on the terrorism charges. I guarantee you he'll get some shyster lawyer from NYU who'll say he was manhandled by the three cops because they didn't allow him to kill a woman, another woman. Go look at the pictures. I've linked them on michaelsavage.com. There he is. And he's got a name. It doesn't matter to you what his name is. Richard Rojas. He had two previous drunk driving convictions. You listening to me? Twice convicted for drunk driving. Once his Honda crashed against the stanchion on Broadway and 45th Street, this drunk, crazy man jumped out of his car, tackled people, punched people. But it was three brave cops who threw this piece of garbage against the wall, and he started to cry as they pinned his arms behind his back. Maybe some shyster lawyer from NYU could run down over there and say they manhandled him. It was police brutality. Well, thank God for the cops. There's another story that I linked up about police. I'll tell you, it's really getting me sick. Thank God this one ended well as well. This one is of a cop. I've got to find the story. I can't put my fingers on it immediately. He sees a car in Colorado on the side of the road. There it is, New York Daily News. Body cam video shows Colorado deputy shoots suspect who attacked him with a rifle. He sees a car on the side of the road in Colorado. He gets out. He goes to the right side of the car, tells the guy to get out. The guy comes out with a rifle and attacks him with the butt of the rifle, and his instincts kick in, and he shoots this piece of garbage twice in the arm, and you hear the guy screaming, "I did nothing." And right away he knew the defense already. "I didn't do anything. What are you doing? What are you doing? Why'd you shoot me? I didn't do anything." Got all the words out, out of the ACLU. You hearing me? The 25-year-old driver, Deon Marcus Rivas Maestas, comes out of the car with a rifle and attacks the officer. The cop goes on instinct and shoots his own weapon twice, striking this piece of garbage in the arm. And the guy starts screaming on the ground, "You got to watch this tape. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. Why you shoot me, man? Why you shoot me, man?" This is what the cops have to put up with. They're all trained, all these drug addicts, these drug dealers. They've been trained left and right by the very same forces that are attacking Trump. All of these people who teach the youths, the juveniles at the universities. There's a group in Berkeley, I don't know what they're called. If it was up to me, I'd arrest them for sedition, all of them. They're called Ruckus Group or something. They teach these young drug addicts how to attack police and get away with it. They teach these young drug addicts how to put masks over their face and spray Trump supporters with pepper spray and say that they were the ones who were attacked. We are at war. Make no mistake about it. We are involved in a civil war that's being conducted by the same cabal that gave us George Soros and gave us Barack Obama. The very same cabal is at war now against everybody who voted for Donald Trump and wants the sovereignty of America to prevail. Never forget the motto of the Savage Nation: borders, language, culture. Illegitimi non caberundum.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award,
Michael. The fact, all of you deplorables, we're dealing with a very, very, very bad situation where by attacking Trump on false charges, false claims, started with a smear of Hillary Clinton's campaign people, and now has turned into one lie is built upon another. And as Goebbels said, if you tell a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth. It is now permeated and combined into an avalanche of lies. In attacking Trump, they attack us. In attacking us, they attack our agenda. In attacking our agenda, they are attacking America. In attacking our agenda and in attacking America, they're attacking the presidency. Let me tell you something else. One of the worst of them is the deplorable. The most deplorable of all of them is this deranged fool named Maxine Waters. This woman is so crazy that she's still calling for impeachment without knowing what she's talking about. But I got some news for all of you, let us say, bootlickers of Maxine Waters. Here is Maxine Waters in 1998 blasting those who were impeaching Bill Clinton. You got to listen to this woman if you want to. Well, let's just leave it at that. Listen to Maxine Waters in 1998 defending Bill Clinton in 04.
How must our American soldiers feel to have their commander-in-chief under attack while they are engaged in battle? They have the right to feel betrayed and undermined. Today we are here in the People's House debating the partisan impeachment of the President of the United States of America while the commander-in-chief is managing a crisis and asking world leaders for support. This is indeed a Republican coup d'etat. I am greatly disappointed in the raw, unmasked, unbridled hatred and meanness that drives this impeachment coup d'etat. The unapologetic disregard for the voice of the people.
Thank you, Maxine. True words were never spoken for Donald Trump. True words were never spoken. The coup d'etat that you are conducting with your deranged friends. Here she is, this maniac on MSNBC in clip two. You got to listen to this now. Listen to this one.
I have hope with the appointment of special counsel Mueller. And I think we're going to learn a lot. I believe when we get the subpoenas and we get the special counsel at work doing the real digging into whether or not there was collusion,
whether or not the
committees are, you know, trying to establish certain facts, we're going to learn a lot about the connections between the president, his allies, and the Kremlin.
It's
going to be very revealing. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear the word impeachment, but I believe it's going to lead right to impeachment.
So no investigation has been done. Nothing has been discovered. Committees haven't established any facts. But this deranged liar is saying it's going to lead to impeachment. There's a phrase for this. Many phrases for this. One is rush to judgment. There are many others. These tactics were developed in the Soviet Union. They're now being played out by Maxine Waters and her friends in the media. It's part of a pattern, my friends. Let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation who will be the ultimate judge. Susan on WABC, thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
Okay, Dr. Savage, you have sometimes referred to yourself as a prophet, and I do believe that in many, many ways you are.
Wait, let me clear the air. I've never said I'm a prophet. I said that I have some sense of prophecy in myself, and I have some of the DNA of the ancient prophets in me, but I never claimed to be a prophet myself.
Is that the classic age of prophecy is gone, but there's so many parallels between that age and now, and it is said that prophets were very, very different, and there were certain prophets that weren't spoken to directly, but were given kind of puzzles, and they had to figure things out. And this is where I see you. No one is telling you exactly what the scene is, but you are looking from above. You're knitting the fabric of the disaster that's happening, and you're trying to explain it to all of us. And for this, I'm very, very grateful. And I have to say one thing, which was fascinating. I read it this morning. I don't know which prophet it was, but there were certain prophets. They were not all the same, and they were not all cut out of the same fabric. Certain prophets were chosen because they were people of substance, they were people of wealth, because they could then not have to answer to anybody. This is a classic scenario. So this is what we're seeing today. And I just want to say to your audience that we are all overwhelmed. We're saddened. We're shocked every day. But every day, everybody has to do a little something in their community that they can. For example, I live in New York. I'm trying to make sure that the City College of New York does not give Linda Sansour a platform.
It's yes, I know the Palestinian terrorist-loving Linda Sansour, who's a champion of Jew-hating. I get it. I thank you, Susan. It's listeners like you that make the show so important. Here's another one of the kind of racist hatred on campuses now. There's a Texas A&M professor advocating violence against white people, saying whites have to die. A so-called Dr. Tommy Curry was outed with recordings by students in a podcast in which he discussed killing white people in context and said in order to be equal, in order to be liberated, some white people may have to die. Listen to me very carefully. He said it over and over again. He said he's very serious about it, telling the class that these ideas of killing white people resonate in the history of people who have been oppressed. This is a teacher on the Texas A&M campus. He then goes on, and he said, you cannot have progress here without violence and upheaval. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, if you think that this retard is alone, you are mistaken. There are retarded racists like this on every campus in America. Once the floodgates of affirmative action were opened, it seems that not the best and the brightest were admitted, but the worst and the most hateful seem to have poured through into the academies. And instead of advancing science, instead of advancing literature, instead of advancing poetry, instead of advancing the arts, they've advanced hatred. WABC John, line 5, go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I just want to say in all my years of listening to you, your monologue today was one of the most accurate, insightful that you've ever given. It should be played in every classroom in America, in every workplace in America.
Good luck. It should be at every airport played on CNN broadcasting. Every American in every airport should hear the voice of Michael Savage. Maybe it would be a counterpoint to the filth and lies that come out of Wolf Blitzer's yap. I don't know what to say. I do my show. Sometimes I don't even know where it comes from. Do you think I wrote that monologue? I didn't. I didn't even know what I was going to say when I started the show. I played the music. I read No Man is an Island. And next thing I knew, I was off and running with something from deep within the well of my own soul. And fundamentally, the message is, and it should go down in history, in attacking Donald Trump with false charges, as they are doing, the government media complex, they're attacking us. Everyone who voted for Trump is being attacked right now. We are all being called liars. We're all being told that we are traitors and liars. We're all being told that we are illegitimate. We're all being told that our vote doesn't count. That is exactly what I was trying to say in that monologue, and I think that's what you are resonating with. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. It was very, very on the money. Right.
Well, I'm not giving up so fast, and I don't think Donald Trump is rolling over so fast. And speaking about Donald Trump, he's making another critical error. He's leaving on a trip, I believe, tomorrow. As we all know, he's going to go to Saudi Arabia first, which is a disastrous error. He's making a huge mistake by even going there. Does he think that we don't know that it was 19 Saudis who attacked America on 9/11? Does he think we don't remember the embarrassing pictures of presidents before him, Bush and Obama, being led by their little finger or bowing down to the King of Arabia? I pray to God that Trump does not bow down to the King of Saudi Arabia, and I pray he's not led by his little finger around some tent in the middle of a desert to make a staged photo showing that America is owned by the Saudis. I pray to God that he comes to his senses before he even goes there. In fact, he shouldn't even go there. It was a mistake. Yes, go to the Pope. That unto itself is also a mistake, if you want to know the truth, from me. Why do I say going to the Pope is a mistake? Do you think the evangelicals of America worship the Pope in the Vatican? No, they don't. They don't worship the Pope in the Vatican. Moreover, most educated Catholics don't like this Pope because they know he's nothing but a Marxist stooge wearing the vestments of the church, in plain English. I know it's brutal. I know that many people are shocked by the things that I say, but sometimes the truth hurts. And like all good medicine, sometimes the best medicines taste the worst. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. You know, the whole world's coming apart from the hatred out there, by the way. Here's another one now. The madman in New York. Not a terrorist event per se. Drives into a crowd on Times Square, killing a woman, an 18-year-old tourist, injuring others, gets out, tries to attack people. It was only because the three beefy, brave cops took this piece of garbage down onto the pavement. He starts to cry like a baby, this drunk maniac. Every way you turn, people seem to be snapping. Here's some news, by the way, if you want more Trump news. This just came out a minute ago. Trump scraps Masada visit after Israel nicks his chopper landing. I don't know what that's about. President Trump has scrapped a planned visit to the ancient mountain fortress of Masada in Israel because he was not allowed to land his chopper at the top. The president refused to land his helicopter at the base of the historic site and take a cable car up as former Clinton, Presidents Clinton and Bush had done, citing Israel's Channel 2. Trump's, whose visit to Israel comes amid a series of scandals, now plans on delivering a speech Monday at the Israel Museum in Jerusalem. Helicopters are not allowed to land at the top of the UNESCO World Heritage Site, overlooking the Dead Sea in the Judean Desert, because they whip up damaging and dangerous dust clouds. In 1997, the wind blown by an Israeli military chopper that landed there damaged famed archaeological ruins, according to the Jerusalem Post. Those of you who know anything about history in the Holy Land know what Masada is, which is under threat from a Roman siege at Masada. Jewish rebel defenders killed themselves rather than be captured by invading Romans between 73 and 74 A.D. Incidentally, all of the Israeli special forces, as part of their graduation, have a candlelight vigil, so far as I know, atop Masada. I've been there. It's an interesting experience unto itself. Nothing special for an American, to be frank with you. Not this American. In fact, the whole thing of the Dead Sea and Masada left me wanting a tranquilizer. All I wanted to do was get back to the King David Hotel and take a trank. It was so boring. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't wait. It was not for me. It's not part of my history, Masada. I mean, maybe if you're an Israeli, it's a big deal. Anyway, Trump scraps Masada visit after Israel nicks his chopper landing. It's an interesting story. I don't know whether he wouldn't take the cable car up to the top, as Clinton and Bush had done, because he didn't want to or because our Secret Service advised him not to. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it may be just a security decision. They're making it sound like he was lazy or he was, let's say, imperialistic and didn't want to ride in the cable car. That's, of course, the Daily News under the Murdoch boys, written by Yaron Steinbuch. They're saying, no, you can't go up on the helicopter. You got to take it like Clinton and Bush did the cable car. So maybe it was just a decision by the Secret Service that it's too dangerous to put him into a cable car, especially in these incendiary times. You know, maybe that was a decision. But he is going to Vatican and Saudi Arabia and Israel. And I'll repeat again, Saudi Arabia, I wouldn't have gone. He asked me, no deserts, no hand, no pinky walks, no bowing. Someone's pushing him into going to Saudi Arabia. Someone's looking to get a schmear job Someone's looking for a schmear, and I don't mean on a bagel. There's a huge deal involved. A defense contracting deal worth hundreds of billions of dollars. And if you think I'm talking about cream cheese, I got another guest coming for you. Joe on KSFO Line 4, go ahead, please.
First of all, it's an honor to speak with you. And I'm on the other side of the spectrum. I'm a socialist. You believe in certain conservatism. I respect you on that much. I believe in you. You have to calm down this hatred, man. For the past 16 years, left it to President Bush second, right it to President Obama. Now we are continuing doing this the same path. We don't care about the United States, and I respect you for that much, because we both care about this country a lot.
Joe, I want to ask you something. You say you're a socialist. Which country did you emigrate from? It's very important for me in the conversation to get context.
Saying that anything else, and I believe in you.
Joe, which country did you come from?
I come from Iran.
Okay, good, because I was afraid you were going to tell me you're a socialist who came from Venezuela.
No, I didn't. Are you kidding me? They're not socialists. They're just making a scam to screw up the people oil money. That's what they're
doing. All right. Thank God you know the difference between one thing and the other. But how can you say you're a socialist from Iran? What do you think would occur here with pure socialism?
I don't think so. This is the time me and you will speak about that. But in summary, I can tell you one thing. We have to distribute the wealth for poverty. This country is going the wrong direction. We're creating a class warfare, which is wrong.
We have to redistribute the wealth. So when I pay over 60% of my income in taxes, wouldn't you call that redistribution of wealth? I would say that the money needs to be spent a little better rather than robbed by the politicians. Maybe that would help you understand that we're already redistributing the wealth, meaning my wealth. Anyone who makes a living here pays almost 60% in taxes if they live in a criminal state like New York or California. How much more do you want to take from us?
Can I say something?
Yeah, you already said something. Thanks for calling. You already have redistribution. It's the crooks in the business suits called politicians who are distributing the money they steal in our taxes, and it's not going to the right things, not to the right places. There's plenty of money, more taxes than ever in history, thanks to Barry Hussein Obama. He's taxed us to death, which is why Trump was elected, which is to give us back some of our own money, in plain English. It's not your money. It's my money, and it's not going to the poor, is it? Where's it going? Take a look at the contractors on K Street and the people around that. You'll know where a lot of it's going. This is the Savage Nation. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Trying to go past this issue here of the assault upon the American voting public by the Dem socialist Islamist jackals that you may call the Democrat Party, but the government media complex has never been more vicious or sick. In the history of my life, I have never seen anything as low as what passes for a reporter or a journalist or a newsreader today. I've never seen anything like it. I grew up in a time when there was criticism. But never have they taken down a presidency with such glee and calling themselves reporters. It's sickening to watch. But my main point is, in doing so, they're diminishing not only the president of the United States, but the presidency, the nation, and all of us who voted for him. Make no mistake about it, they've declared war on you. Now, he just spoke a few minutes ago, and we have a very short summary of what President Trump just said about this latest attack upon him. Let's listen.
Well, I respect the move, but the entire thing has been a witch hunt, and there is no collusion between certainly myself and my campaign, but I can always speak for myself and the Russians, zero. I think it divides the country. I think
Bingo.
We have a very divided country because of that and many other things. I hate to see anything that divides. I'm fine with whatever people want to do, but we have to get back to running this country really, really well. We've made tremendous progress in the last 100-and-some-odd days, tremendous progress. That's what I want to be focused on, because believe me, there's no collusion. Russia is fine, but whether it's Russia or anybody else, my total priority, believe me, is the United States of America. So.
Well, I do believe you. That's why I worked so hard for you. That's why I wrote Trump's War, and that's why I say what they're doing to him is unprecedented in American history. And if they want war, you can give them war. It's simple. You don't have to watch Jake Tapper. You don't ever have to turn on CNN. You can turn it off. Just as people turn me off because they don't like my message, turn them off. Why do you even watch the opposition who hates you? I'll never understand that. So anyway, I've made my point. I don't need to read it over and over again and make the same point over and over and over again. The jackals have been loosened. The madness is everywhere. And it's because the agenda is what they don't want. Never forget that they don't want firm borders. Never forget that the sanctuary cities, for example, are where most of the drugs in America enter America. They come through the border with Mexico. They are dispersed into the sanctuary cities because the police are not allowed to do their job. And from the sanctuary cities, which are drug havens, the drugs are then dispensed to the rest of America. Now do you understand a little bit about follow the money when I tell you that the Democrats are representing some of the worst elements in the world? Do you understand that? Poisoning our children, and the greatest victims of all of this, by the way, the greatest victims are the poorest of Americans, including white Americans and black Americans. They are the biggest victims of the sanctuary city movement. So Trump doesn't want the sanctuary cities. Trump has declared war on the gangs. Trump has broken up one of the worst and most dangerous gangs in the United States of America. But you don't hear that coming out of the sick vampire mouths, do you? Aren't you embarrassed by the actions of the Democrats in Congress today? The rushing to judgment, the building upon lie, building to an avalanche of a bigger lie? All right, I've made the point over and over again, and I'm not going to do this for the next 2 years. I'm guaranteeing you I'm not doing it. There's so many other things to talk about in the world. I'll read you some of the headlines, okay, that I really wanted to get to. You know San Francisco is a very sick city. You know that it's socially one of the sickest places on the earth. I love the place. I go there less and less now because of the illness, the homeless, the filth, the degenerates. They're opening a cafe called the Rodent Cafe. A new cafe is called the Black Rat Cafe. And what you do is you adopt a rat in the basement, in a dungeon, in the cafe. There's a San Francisco dungeon in Fisherman's Wharf, and they're going to let you pet a rat for $50 a person. It's set up with tables, tablecloths, and lanterns in a dark dungeon. And you sit down and you play with rats in this cafe. The owner of it, a very sick individual in my mind who belongs in a mental hospital in a straitjacket, says they do make very good pets. And if looked after, rats are as clean as a cat or a dog. Now, if we had a sane city and managed by sane individuals, obviously you would not let a rat cafe open, would you? Have they forgotten about the bubonic plague? Do they know anything about rats and the spreading of the fleas that spread this plague that led to the Dark Ages? Does anyone know anything anymore other than how to rob the treasury? Here's another one for those of you watching the social meltdown of America because of liberals. This comes to us from Colorado. Legalized marijuana turns Colorado resort town into homeless magnet. They've seen the transformation of this beautiful mountain resort of Durango, Colorado, which was once a vibrant upscale community dotted with luxury hotels, being overrun by panhandlers, that is, well, I'll just panhandlers. They say because of the legalization of marijuana. The town suddenly became a haven for recreational pot users, drawing transients, panhandlers, and a large number of homeless drug addicts. Many are coming from New Mexico, Arizona, and even New York. One of them says, legalized marijuana has drawn a lot of kids here from other states, and the impact has not all been good, said Marinsek, age 58, while holding a cardboard sign asking for help. Several other people holding cardboard signs can be seen along the streets of Durango now. Some just ask for marijuana or imply that that's what they want with a photo of a green pot leaf. But it's not just pot users being drawn to Durango. They're seeing needles in the streets, said Marinsek, a self-avowed former hippie. Another one, a former street entertainer, said the homelessness and panhandling issue has gotten out of hand since the state legalized marijuana. Problem is, while many of them coming are petty, pretty mellow, there are many more who are violent. Yeah, no kidding. Look at San Francisco and you'll see the crime, which is out of control, all because of the disease that is greater than the drug disease, which is the disease of the mind. Once the mind is diseased with the wrong philosophy, the worst happens. Here's another story I wanted to get to. I guess I'm getting to them by reading them and telling you I can't get to them. King of the UFC tells Ronda Rousey to grow the F up. The best pound-for-pound fighter in the world has some advice for Ronda Rousey. Demetrius Johnson believes Rousey put too much emphasis on winning. It's an interesting story to me because he says, this guy, Demetrius Johnson, he says, I could lose, I could get knocked out, I could get finished, he told Sports Illustrated. He said, I visualize myself losing most of the time just because I've seen so many champions lose and they don't know how to take it. Their whole world is upside down. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? He said, you look at Ronda Rousey. He got herself beat. I'm saying grow up. It happens. It's mixed martial arts. He says, I don't want to be like that. If I lose, I'll be like, I lost. Now, this is an interesting story because after earning a 10-0 record as a winner, the then 23-year-old lost two fights in a quick row. And he says he's not a different person. He says, I've never missed a fight. I'm the same person when I'm up here as when I was down here. Down here. That should not change. And he's trying to tell us a story, at least I got a story from that, is that you've got to try to be the same person whether you're up or down. And we're all going to lose at something. We're all going to lose at something at some time, and you can't let that change you. That's why this story inspired me in a way. Local politician seeking apology from Robert De Niro for Long Island joke. Robert De Niro has some kind of new movie out in a Netflix area. And he stars as some character, a struggling comic who tells a crowd during a stand-up set, well, I looked up Hicksville on Wikipedia. It said inbreeding and crystal meth. Okay, there you go. There's Robert De Niro at work. Georgia carries out first execution of the year. Oh, this is some story. It's too lengthy for me to read to you. But when I read to you what the lawyers try to do to stop the execution, you'll get sick. So I won't read it to you. I want to do something for you in the time that remains, which is Mr. Pence was on this show a while back. I'm not going to play the whole 12-minute interview. It's too long. But some things occurred right at the beginning when he was on this show on March 1st, 2017. And I got to tell you, he came out of the blue. We had tried to get him before. They wouldn't even return the calls. And out of the blue, they call us and say, would you like to have Vice President Pence on the show? Right then and there, I knew something was up. Let's listen to Mike Pence on the Savage Nation. Vice President Pence, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. Great to be on the program.
Well, last night was one of the greatest moments, certainly in the president's career to date, but it was also, as a person watching it on television, I was totally moved by last night, and I think you were as well, especially when the Navy SEAL's widow was honored last night. What was that like, sitting in that room?
Well, first off, let me agree with you. It was not only a great speech, it was a great night for America. What the American people saw, what you saw a long time ago in President Trump, was someone with broad shoulders, a big heart, and a clear agenda to make America great again. He laid out that agenda with specificity. He called on the Congress to come together to move the country forward. And I just have to tell you, it was a privilege for me to be there, and it's obviously humbling for me to be some small part of this administration. But that moment that you refer to, Michael, it was deeply moving to me, and frankly, I think to everyone in the chamber. I don't think there was a dry eye in the House.
I know my eyes were not dry, and I felt the same about what was. I was looking at that, and I said, this has to be one of the most stirring moments. And it wasn't that she was being used. It was that she was being shown for what she is, as a sort of like a spirit of America who sacrificed so much. But let's get back to the speech, if we may, Vice President. People are saying, well, Donald Trump hasn't gotten anything done. First of all, I disagree with that. But even if he's just raising the spirit of America back up by degree, that's what we need first. First the spirit, then we follow with the body. And he's doing that. He is raising the spirit of America. I felt it last night, and I know that you did as well.
I couldn't agree more. And to know the president, and my family and I have had the privilege to come to know the president and his family on a personal basis over the last year. We've seen them when the cameras aren't on. To know him is to know someone who believes in this country, He has boundless optimism. He thinks there's no mountain too tall to climb. There's no challenge too great to overcome. And one of my favorite parts of the speech was when he literally, at the end of the speech, Michael, to your point, spoke about the American spirit, about renewing the American spirit, and he challenged the American people to believe in America again. And yes. I think that's exactly the kind of leadership that has been lacking in recent years, a leadership that believes in this country and its founding principles and in the boundless capacity of the American people to chart a more prosperous future.
Vice President Pence, even the Democrats were moved by last night's, shall I say, speech or performance. They were triangulated. They did not know how to react because many of them themselves were stirred by Donald Trump's rousing delivery last night. But getting down to brass tacks, Vice President, I want to ask you as Vice President, and don't, in my opinion, you're not just a small part of it. I think you're a tremendous part of this whole victory that we're experiencing in this country. I mean, you provide a certain, let's say, a different feeling than Donald does. Donald does one thing, you do another, and America sees it all as one whole. But you personally, what are the three most important things that you would like to accomplish over this four-year term? What are the three biggest things you would like to see done in 4 years?
Well, I think that there's no question that the priorities that the president has placed before the American people last night that he articulated in his campaign, I think are the right priorities for America today. First, we have got to put the security of our country first again.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Michael Savage back with you here. Many people don't know this, but I used to be the director of nutrition for one of America's largest health food chains. That's a big deal. Super Beets is one of the most impressive natural functional foods I've ever seen in my career. That's why I talk about it. Why? Because of blood flow, blood flow, blood flow. Put it together. Beets are loaded with dietary nitrates, which convert to nitric oxide in the body. Super Beets is the easiest way to get these natural dietary nitrates to specifically help with blood flow and circulation. Super Beets works three times faster to give you results you can feel, and it tastes great. I take Super Beets every day. I can feel the energy and stamina it gives me in a few minutes, 20 minutes, and I want you to feel it too. All you got to do is call 800-481-0504. It's an easy number, 800-481-0504, or go to SavageLovesBeets.com. Don't forget the loves, SavageLovesBeets.com. And what happens? You get a 30-day supply for free with your first order, and it's backed by a money-back guarantee. You're also going to get a free book, Beat the Odds, and free shipping on your entire order. You're going to love the results that you feel with your first free canister. It's guaranteed or you get your money back. 1-800-481-0504. It's the Savage Nation. In about a minute, this voice that you love so much will be taking a long break because that's the break at the end of the second hour. I think I've given you your money's worth, especially since you paid nothing to listen. I think I've given you a good 2 hours so far. There's another big hour coming. I'm just saying some affiliates leave, some stay. It's the nature of radio. My main point today is that no man is an island. And by ripping apart Trump based upon false, absolutely false premises from the beginning, fake. You heard of fake news? This is a fake persecution. Well, the persecution is real based upon fake news that was based upon a campaign, a theme of Hillary Clinton. By attacking Trump, they attack the presidency, they attack the United States of America, and they attack, most importantly, the voters who put him where he is. Listen to me, deplorables. They've declared a civil war upon us. Give it to them. Boycott them. Turn off their channels. Don't buy their products. Don't go to their movies. You have the power.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Here's some stories that I should talk about. Pence takes steps to build war chest as White House stumbles, says Bloomberg's Bill Allison. Breitbart reports Trump under siege. More than 60% of NSC employees placed by Hussein Obama. Comey's revenge may be far from over, says Mike Allen. Trump voters want jobs, not noise about Russia. CNN, and it's an interesting one. She traveled the country talking with dozens of Trump voters. No one has ever brought up Russia, an issue that President Trump seems obsessed with. She went to Ohio, Kentucky, Michigan, Wisconsin. Russia never came up, nor did the FBI. These states went to Trump and were critical to his election, she writes. All voters there want to talk about is how America needs more jobs. They don't mean jobs at McDonald's or at an Amazon warehouse. They mean jobs that will allow them to have decent middle-class lives that pay over $25 an hour and come with health care and retirement benefits. Jobs and wages are, quote, why we voted for him as a country, says Kenneth Olson, a 60-year-old factory worker from Racine, Wisconsin, who has been told his job is moving to Canada soon. He's deeply concerned that he and his wife may lose their house after he's laid off. On the campaign trail, Trump seemed to be in sync with voters like Olson and understand their deep economic pain and fear. He excelled at rallying massive crowds with promises to be, quote, the greatest jobs producer that God ever created, and to bring back jobs from Mexico and China. He focused on what got his base excited. That's all they care about. That is jobs, jobs, jobs. Listen to me very carefully. Civilization itself is under attack right now. The vicious Dems are now out to destroy Pence. They're going after him in a new way. They're saying VP Pence is standing by his claims that he did not know former National Security Advisor Flynn had been secretly lobbying for the Turkish government until March. So now they're trying to smear Pence with the same Flynn story. You know, this morning I spoke to a few people, and I got a lot of emails from a few people who I respect, and maybe I'll share some of them with you. But one of them was a very famous Democrat attorney, one of the most famous, but I'm talking old line, JFK era Democrat. Don't confuse them with the progressive vermin of San Francisco of today. I'm talking about old line Democrat, fair-minded liberal. There were such men. They don't exist much anymore. And he said to me, he called me incensed. He said, can you tell your friend Donald Trump how to handle this? Because he's a very famous attorney, this man. He said there's only one way for him to handle it and get up there and say, of course I told the FBI director, if you can. If you can. I didn't say you should. If you can. Drop this inquisition against these people. Because he's a good man. Flynn is a good man. He's my friend. That shows loyalty. Do you understand it shows that Donald Trump has something that none of the Democrat polyps have, which is integrity and loyalty to friends? Do you understand what's going on here? Loyalty, integrity, something that Schumer never learned in the dirty streets of Brooklyn. Something that Pelosi never learned in the filth in which she dwells. He said, tell him to go on the attack and say, of course I defended Flynn and told the FBI director, if you can, not you should, if you can, move away from this. He's a good man. He didn't do anything wrong here. He said there's nothing illegal with that. He gave me some other advice. There's absolutely no case whatsoever for impeachment. None. In fact, if you think there is, you're really living in a dream world. I got another letter from my attorney, Daniel Horowitz. And he said impeachment based upon the Comey memo is very unlikely. Here's why. If Comey really was solicited in a way that was clearly illegal, he had two choices. One, he could submit a report to the Attorney General and seek a prosecution. Two, he could create a memo, report, and do further investigation. That is, set up a sting or attempt to garner more proof than just his word against the president's. As far as I know, writes my attorney, as far as I know, neither took place. A cynic would say that Comey was holding it over Trump as blackmail, but I give no credence to that at all. The power would fade over time, and the delay in reporting would make the use of the threat a bluff. That leaves us with the idea that Comey probably felt pressured, but also believed that the conduct did not constitute a crime. It is the only logical conclusion. Comey is a lawyer and an experienced law enforcement officer, and he is smart and not afraid of anyone as far as I can tell. For all of these reasons, his noting of the contact, but his taking no further action, screams to me, there is nothing here. And there is more, much more. And unfortunately, the propaganda damage has already been done. Last night, I received a number of emails from a friend of mine in Los Angeles. He said every restaurant he went in, that's all they were talking about, was Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia. He said one restaurant after another, wherever he went, at one table after the next, the psychotic liberals have bought it hook, line, and sinker. The idiots in West Hollywood who don't know their toenails from their DNA. We're talking about not the radical Islamic threat to our civilization, but Trump and Russia, Trump and Russia, Trump and Russia. So the damage has already been done. I hope you enjoyed my impassioned defense of Donald Trump, because I'm defending myself. I'm defending the agenda. I'm defending all of those Americans who want America back. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You have to fight right now, and you cannot let the illegitimate progressives roll you over with their big lies. Because let me remind you of something, and I'll remind you until you finally hear me. They're implying that Trump and his officials were complicit in Russia's efforts to impact the election. It should be noted that both acting FBI Director McCabe and the former Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, who doesn't shut his clap-trap mouth, have refuted that notion already. There is absolutely no collusion whatsoever with Russia. Now, having said that, my big, high-powerful Democrat lawyer friend said to me, Trump should give a national press conference. He should have done it already and stop tweeting. Just what I said. Stop with the juvenile adolescent tweeting. Stop it. Stop it. Stop the tweeting. It's not presidential. Give a national conference in the Oval Office with the seal of the presidency in front of him and say, yes, I defended General Flynn because he is a good man. And I would do it again. And number two, yes, I did tell the ambassador about the dangers of radical Islam and their attempts to use laptops to blow up airplanes, because that is my job as president, to protect people. And I would do it again with any other world leader who is our ally. And he said that would be the end of it. Instead of hiding and tweeting and tweeting and hiding, Trump needs one piece of advice. Fire your communications director. Fire everybody around you in the communications division. They are failing you, and that is why you are in trouble. Period. That's my opinion. Fire them all and start afresh. I wrote an article about how to save the agenda, Trump's agenda, because most of us have forgotten he had an agenda. I'll give you the agenda. I'll make it short. I'm not reading from the book. Don't worry. Don't get nervous. The wall, taxes, tariffs, deportations, Obamacare, guns, military strength, schools, abortion, religion. What will the new president do? I want to talk about that for 1 second. People say, well, isn't your book irrelevant now? I thought about it. No, it's actually more relevant now because it's the only record of what he promised and what we elected him for. I keep repeating that to people. Trump's war has legs for a reason. Every chapter is based upon what he promised us, what we told him we wanted, what we thought we were going to get. Period. And so, therefore, unless we have a track record of what we elected him for, we're going to forget what we elected him for. It seems to me that he's forgotten what he was elected for. Well, I hope I get an opportunity to meet the president again. And I hope I can sit with him and this time over dessert talk about Trump's war and say to him, look, the deplorables really count. They put you where you are, Mr. President. They can keep you where you are. please stop listening to your liberal advisors. They're steering you in the wrong direction. So now you understand why the evil ones at the New York Times and the government media complex, as I have called it since 1998, are fighting to destroy Trump. It's not so much because he makes it easy for them, which he does, by not stopping with the tweeting and making statements that make no sense. But they don't want the wall. They don't want taxes to go down. They want no tariffs with foreign nations that are ripping us off. They want no deportations, even of dangerous gang members. They want Obamacare to not only stay but be expanded. They want your guns seized. They want a military weakened. They want our schools turned into a furtherance of their psychotic Marxist agenda. They want massive more abortion, and they want religion snuffed out in America, with the exception of Islam. Now you understand why and how this is all happening? My army of listeners do. Now, we know that Trump will face relentless opposition. I said so in the jacket of the book. I said so. So what's unusual about it? I said not only will Trump have to overcome progressive ideologues, check that, neoconservative ventriloquists, check all the Republicans turning on him, connected corporate interests, check his own inner circle, and a military-industrial complex bent on permanent war. But I added this. I don't know how many of you knew this when you bought the book. I said right on the jacket, Trump will also have to fight progressive beliefs even he and his otherwise conservative appointees have unwittingly accepted. So look, nothing got past me. I used to be known as a kid that an ant couldn't walk by me without my observing it. I see everything. It's not like I'm the all-seeing. Look, in some areas I'm stupid. In politics, I'm a genius. Politics, I'm a stone genius in politics. I always have been. I can see it all, past, future, present, all the way back to King David and what he had to do to amalgamate the tribes of Israel and become the king of Israel and create the nation of Israel. And I can see forward, I can see backwards, I can see sideways. In interpersonal relationships, I wouldn't give myself an A. That's why I live with a dog. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. No man is an island entire of itself. Each is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thine own or of thine friends were. Each man's death diminishes me, for I am involved in mankind. Therefore, send not to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. 1624, John Donne, no longer taught by the polyps in the U.S. academic establishment. The polyps who have turned academia into a cesspool of left-wing hatred for everything Caucasian, everything European, everything that is great on this earth created by whites, now expunged by the polyps who have taken over every aspect of the academy. Now, what does that have to do with Trump? Nothing. Nothing to do with Trump in a way. For whom the bell tolls? Well, the poem begins with, no man is an island. He's not an island. And as Chuck Schumer and the other illegitimi on the left continue to tear him apart, they do not realize they're tearing themselves apart. As they tear apart the truth, as they tear apart decency, as they tear apart democracy, as they tear apart the presidency, they're washing away our nation. And if you think they're only attacking Trump, you are mistaken. They're attacking the foundations of our nation. And I said to you at the early part of the week, I'm going to try and begin each program with some biblical quote or whatever. Today I began with a great poem that approaches a biblical quote because it's as good as anything that the ancients wrote. But there is an ancient thing from the Ethics of the Father that is a one-liner that says, do not judge alone, for none can judge alone except one, meaning only God can judge alone. Do not judge alone, for none can judge alone except one. Apparently, Chuck Schumer forgot all of that after he put down his religious studies, if he ever had any. After tearing apart Donald Trump on completely fallacious grounds, They're now going after Mike Pence. Did you know that? Many of you think that Mike Pence is waiting in the wings, which he probably is. But the issue is not him. They're going to try to tear him down just as well. The polyps in the Democrat Party live for one thing only, and that is to destroy. To destroy, destroy, destroy. And now here's the odd part. Instead of facing the real enemy of Western civilization, which is radical Islam, they have created a false enemy called Russia. Suddenly Russia is the bigger enemy. What has Russia done to America, to harm us? The answer is absolutely nothing. Were it not for the Russian jets, ISIS would still be cutting off heads and setting people alive, on fire while alive. It was the Russian Air Force under Putin that started to destroy ISIS, not Barry Hussein Obama, who refused to do the job. Never forget John Donne's poem, For Whom the Bell Tolls. No man is an island. No man is an island. By attacking Donald Trump, they are attacking every one of us who voted for Donald Trump. By smearing Donald Trump with the lies that the Soviets developed in the 1920s and the 1930s. The communists developed these tactics. By smearing Donald Trump with these Soviet-era tactics, they are smearing every one of us, every one of these decent Americans like you, like me, who went to the polls. We didn't beat anybody up. We didn't burn anything down. We didn't attack any police. We didn't use the vile tactics of Black Lives Matter. We don't use the cowardly tactics of those with masks over their faces. We bit our tongues, and we went to the polls, and we voted. And by attacking Trump, they are attacking our vote. By attacking our vote, they're attacking democracy. They're attacking the presidency. You know and I know there's nothing there. You know this whole thing was a creation of the Hillary Clinton campaign. It is now snowballed into a fake avalanche that they're starting to believe themselves. And you have to stay strong in this avalanche. You must stay strong, and you must not yield to your liberal neighbor in apartment 5A on floor 32 on East 65th Street. Don't let them run you down. Illegitimae non caberundum. This attack upon him is an attack upon malehood. It's an attack upon, may I say, many other aspects of Donald Trump. His uber masculinity, and also, I must say, his race.
Savage.
Well, there's an element to this story out of New York City that you may not have heard. The driver who drove his car into a crowd on four blocks of Times Square, killing an 18-year-old tourist and injuring 22 others. He was not a terrorist, per se. He should be tried for murder, by the way. He tried to flee after he did this, and his car smashed into something. And he ran out of his car, this you don't know about, and he started to punch people and tackle people. But three brave men, all police, of course, the ones that Maxine Waters hates so much, a parole officer, a traffic cop, and a patrol cop who happened to be there, tackled this piece of garbage, threw this filthy piece of garbage against the wall, and pinned his arms behind his back, and he started to scream and cry. You see the pictures in the New York Post of this thing. I would try him on terrorism charges. I don't care whether he did it for Allah or he did it because he's just crazy. I try him on the terrorism charges. I guarantee you he'll get some shyster lawyer from NYU who'll say he was manhandled by the three cops because they didn't allow him to kill a woman, another woman. Go look at the pictures. I've linked them on michaelsavage.com. There he is. And he's got a name. It doesn't matter to you what his name is. Richard Rojas. He had two previous drunk driving convictions. You listening to me? Twice convicted for drunk driving. Once his Honda crashed against the stanchion on Broadway and 45th Street, This drunk, crazy man jumped out of his car, tackled people, punched people. But it was three brave cops who threw this piece of garbage against the wall, and he started to cry as they pinned his arms behind his back. Maybe some shyster lawyer from NYU could run down over there and say they manhandled him. It was police brutality. Well, thank God for the cops. There's another story that I linked up about police. I'll tell you, it's really getting me sick. Thank God this one ended well as well. This one is of a cop. I've got to find the story. I can't put my fingers on it immediately. He sees a car in Colorado on the side of the road. Here it is, New York Daily News. Body cam video shows Colorado deputy shoots suspect who attacked him with a rifle. He sees a car on the side of the road in Colorado. He gets out. He goes to the right side of the car, tells the guy to get out. The guy comes out with a rifle and attacks him with the butt of the rifle, and his instincts kick in, and he shoots this piece of garbage twice in the arm, and you hear the guy screaming, "I did nothing." And right away, he knew the defense already. "I didn't do anything. What are you doing? What are you doing? Why'd you shoot me? I didn't do anything." Got all the words out, out of the ACLU. You hearing me? The 25-year-old driver, Deon Marcus Rivas Maestas, comes out of the car with a rifle and attacks the officer. The cop goes on instinct and shoots his own weapon twice, striking this piece of garbage in the arm, and the guy starts screaming on the ground. You got to watch this tape. "I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. Why you shoot me, man? Why you shoot me, man?" This is what the cops have to put up with. They're all trained, all these drug addicts, these drug dealers. They've been trained left and right by the very same forces that are attacking Trump. All of these people who teach the youths, the juveniles at the universities. There's a group in Berkeley, I don't know what they're called. If it was up to me, I'd arrest them for sedition, all of them. They're called Ruckus Group or something. They teach these young drug addicts how to attack police and get away with it. They teach these young drug addicts how to put masks over their face and spray Trump supporters with pepper spray and say that they were the ones who were attacked. We are at war. Make no mistake about it. We are involved in a civil war that's being conducted by the same cabal that gave us George Soros and gave us Barack Obama. The very same cabal is at war now against everybody who voted for Donald Trump and wants the sovereignty of America to prevail. Never forget the motto of the Savage Nation: borders, language, culture. Remember, by attacking Trump, they're attacking all of us who voted for Trump. They're saying we are illegitimate. They're saying we're working in collusion to bring down America, when in fact the opposite is true. It was Barack Obama who brought America to its knees. It was Barack Obama who turned race against race. It was Barack Obama who turned mobs against the police. Never forget what that devil did to this country. No man is an island entire of itself. Each is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of your own or of your friends were. Each man's death diminishes me, for I am involved in mankind. Therefore, send not to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. John Donne wrote it in 1624, and they're no longer taught in a university. Do you know why? Because he's considered an evil white male. Instead, it is replaced with garbage, illegitimate garbage, rubbish, filth, anti-Americanism. Anti-Americanism has now replaced literature. Anti-Americanism has now replaced everything decent in the universities. They have been polluted just as the media has been polluted. They were educated. Never forget who this new wave of so-called presenters are and where they've come from. They've come from cauldrons of hatred, academies of deceit, academies of racism, academies of a desire to wipe away the greatness of European civilization. This is what happens when a nation becomes brainwashed. This is what goes on the campuses today. The children are afraid to say one word about the radicals who are assaulting them, about the separatists who may be African American, who demand this and demand that. Separate housing, separate graduations, separate programs for themselves. They're reinstituting segregation, and everyone sees it, and no one says a word. They're intimidated by this insanity. But let's get back to Donald Trump. We agree that he's being attacked not only because of his policies of borders, language, and culture, and his nationalism, but also because of his absolute maleness and his boldness. Isn't that an element as well? Never forget what is at stake here. It's a far larger picture than just this big, big man called Donald Trump. As flawed as he is not what they try to make him out to be. And remember, as they come for Trump, they come for you. The battle lines have been drawn. They want a civil war. They've got a civil war. You have the power to turn off CNN. You have the power to never watch the filth and the dirt on MSNBC. You have the power to do to them what they've done to me. You have the power to say no to it. You don't have to watch that garbage. You don't have to watch the fake comedians on HBO. You can turn it off. You don't have to sit there and listen to it with the fake tracks of laughter and the drug addicts in the audience. Remember how powerful you are. Remember you are actually the majority. And never forget that you have more disposable income than all of the progressives think that they may have. You control the economy of this country. You have the power to shape the future of this country. You can turn off those networks that insult you. You can turn off those shows that make a mockery of your beliefs. The diminutive polyps in the media are all saying, impeach, 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 when they know that they can't impeach him. It's impossible. There's no way it will happen. All they want to do is stop his agenda, damage the Repubs for 2018, and stall any investigation of Hillary Clinton and her uranium deal with Russia. Needless to mention, the crimes and misdemeanors committed by Barack Obama, creating the largest surveillance state in the history of the world. I can go down the list if you'd like, but that'll never happen. Look, the first rule that everyone learns in grade school is the best defense is a good offense. Let's just lay it on the line here. The best defense is a good offense. So the Dems are playing defense by playing offense. Unfortunately, Trump has no team to fight back. And that's because, I don't know why, because he doesn't have what he needs. He needs attack dogs. He doesn't have them. Not only does he not have them, he has people who are undermining him from within. That's on top of it all. Right around him, his communications team may as well be working for the Democrats by what shows they're sending him on. Lester Dolt sitting him in a chair, making him look like a schoolboy being lectured to by the principal. Are you kidding me? They should be fired for what they did to him on that Lester Holt interview. Lester Dolt. Lester Dolt attacked him viciously during the campaign. You forgot that? I didn't. How come his campaign director didn't remember that? Because his campaign director's working for the other team. That's why. Why won't he come on radio shows? Put mine aside. The campaign team may as well be working for the Democrats. They send him into hostile territory every day of the week. So he's got his problems. And why, but he, see, as commander-in-chief and as the chief executive, he should be able to see through this. He should be able to fire his communications director and say, get out of here. Just get out of here for what you're doing to me. But who is he going to bring in? That's the question. Who would take the job right now? Do you know anybody who would take the job right now? That's another question. Who do you know would take a job in there who's competent? They're all afraid to take the job because they'd be tar brushed for the rest of their life. They would be absolutely radioactive. So like I've been saying, he needs a Roy Cohn. He needs someone like Roy Cohn, a vicious, intelligent lawyer who could tear the opposition's throat out. But lawyers like that, who exist, by the way, would never take the job because they all work for the Democrats. They're tearing his throat out. It's that simple. I don't know, do the Republicans even have lawyers like that on their side? I don't even know. They didn't know such lawyers? That's all. So can we move on? No, we can't move on. This is all you want to talk about. Let's play the impeachment montage by the diminutive polyps in the media.
Welcome back. You're watching MSNBC. I'm Stephanie Ruhle. The calls are growing for the ouster of President Trump. Another member of Congress wants him impeached.
Is that potentially impeachable if it's an obstruction of justice?
You were saying that this could lead down the road to impeachment, but we weren't anywhere near that yet. Does this breaking news tonight change your view?
Are we getting closer and closer to the possibility of yet another impeachment process?
Cancerous.
Reluctantly, Wolf, I have to say yes.
Is it an impeachable offense if, in fact, the president obstructs justice?
So in terms of impeachment, are you taking action, working with Republicans, or doing anything that would actually move that agenda forward? Do you harbor any hopes that you will find a conservative legal mind to match your desire to proceed with impeachment?
Impeachment originates in the House. House leadership and the Republican Party has shown no interest in that.
Enough.
It seems
I can't
like
take it anymore. These are not benign polyps. These are cancerous polyps in the media. They need to be excised by a hot needle. It's unbelievable to me how sick they are, that they don't think that we see through them. They all repeat each other. They start with a lie and build upon the lie. Then they build upon the lie's lie. Then they build upon the lie's lie's lie. They're not going to get anywhere. It's not going to happen. If you need a laugh, we have waiting for you Maxine Waters, because she, of all people, should have been arrested for what she did with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. She was responsible for the scandal of Freddie Mae and Fannie Mac, which cost taxpayers tens of billions of dollars. Here she is. Listen to her now in 10.
I know that there are those who are talking about, well, we're going to get ready for the next election. No, we can't wait that long. We don't need to wait that long. He will have destroyed this country by then. We cannot wake up every morning to another crisis, to another scandal. We cannot have the uncertainty. Something is wrong.
Now, look, I got to tell you, Maxine Waters should have been jailed for what she did with Freddie Mae and Fannie Mac. And the one who worked with her, Bonnie Frank, remember him? Bonnie Frank from Massachusetts? He was smart enough to resign and not run again because he knew he would have gone to jail. This one wasn't smart enough to resign because she knew she was untouchable. You get it? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Trump pulls trigger for NAFTA talks. While he's under attack by the polyps in the media, in other words, the government media complex, he gave formal notice just this day today he will renegotiate NAFTA, the so-called free trade deal that Bill Clinton signed between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. By signing this letter to Congress, it triggers a 90-day consultation period among the administration, Congress, and business. This means that negotiations to renegotiate NAFTA can begin in August. This is the first step toward reshaping a trade deal that became law in 1994 and changed the face of trade in North America. Now, this is a very important story. He's doing his work. In the midst of being assaulted by the lowest forms of humanity, he continues to do the job we sent him to Washington to do. Now, if you think I'm going to abandon him like all of the never-Trumpers, if you think I'm going to stab him in the back and jump ship because all the others are doing it, I'm not going to do that. I'm made of better stuff than that. I'm not going to join the chorus of those who were for Cruz or for any of the other lessers who could not win. They're now sticking a knife in Trump's back as he is in trouble. The answer is stick a knife in the other party's back, not in his back. And I've said this before, and I will say it again as I said it to the Democrat attorney today. What is missing, I said, sir, is a Roy Cohn. If I were Donald Trump, I would hire 100 aggressive lawyers under a Roy Cohn-like lawyer, and I would investigate all of those who are persecuting me with these false charges. I would put 10 investigators on every senator, every congressman, every reporter who has it in for me. And once I turn over every rock in their lives, and I expose what's real about their pollution, you will see most of this will go away. It's astonishing to me how successful propaganda can be. It's shocking to me how they could take a man like Donald Trump, as flawed as he is, and turn him into a villain. A villain he is not. Flawed he is. And how, by attacking Trump, what they're really doing is attacking the Americans who voted for Trump. Make no mistake about it. By attacking Trump, they're saying, drop dead on the border with Mexico. We love the drugs. We love the crime. We love the illegal aliens. We love the meth dealers pouring over the border. We love the throat cutters with tattoos. We want more of them in our cities because we love the drug trade. By attacking Trump, they're saying, we love an unfair trade deal where Eddie loses his job. We love jobs going to Canada. We love jobs going to Mexico. We love jobs going to China. We want the white male suffering with nothing in this country. We want the white male out of work. We want him humiliated and broken. And language? We don't want a language in this country. We want of bastardization. We want no one to understand the next man. We want a Tower of Babel in this nation. They are attacking us. They're attacking the core of the nation. They're attacking every last one of us who voted for Trump. Make no mistake about it. The battle lines are drawn. The game has begun. And I am Michael Savage, and I'm not jumping ship just because you think it is convenient to do so. I am a loyal man.
Savage.